As we were thinking about today's message and about the theme of chapter 65 in Isaiah, and if you have your Bibles, your tablet, your phone, wherever you keep your Bible, the Word of God, we encourage you to turn there. We are almost through. Some of you are saying, well, that's about time. No, I hope you're not saying that. We could have spent a lot more time in Isaiah. Isaiah has 66 chapters. We're on 65 today. We're looking forward to next week. Pastor Christian's going to be bringing the word next week in chapter 66. You don't want to miss it. And then we'll do a wrap-up of Isaiah. But today, we're looking at 65. We read the whole chapter, I think I would come away with this idea that we are to rejoice in God and in what He creates. We are to rejoice in God and in what He creates. And my mind went to Psalm 8 immediately. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. You have set your glory above the heavens. Out of the mouth of babies and infants, you have established strength because of your foes to still the enemy and the avenger. When I look at your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have set in place, what is man that you are mindful of him and the son of man that you care for him? Yet you have made him a little lower than the heavenly beings and crowned him with glory and honor. You have given him dominion over the works of your hands. And you have put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, and also the beasts of the field, the birds of the heavens, and the fish of the sea, whatever passes along the paths of the sea. O Lord, our Lord, how majestic is your name in all the earth. I just want to just pause a moment and allow the Holy Spirit to well up inside of all of us and to declare praise to Him. For He is the Creator. We are to rejoice in God and in what He creates. Now, some of us know that Genesis 1:1 says, in the beginning, God, what did He do? God created the heavens and the earth. Have we forgotten that? Our society wants us to forget that. But God is the one who spoke something out of nothing. He is the Creator. Now, I like pictures, and these three pictures have something in common, don't they? We see that God is the master artist. He is the one who creates. And if you want to get in touch with the Creator, again, go back to Genesis chapter 1 and see how God creates. He spoke from His Word. And we believe, because Scripture teaches, that God the Father created, God the Son was present there, God the Holy Spirit moved in all of creation. And God saw that it was good. That it was good. God creates. How does He create? Well, every human being that is born, every human that is born, is made in the image and the likeness of God. And if you've ever seen a little baby born, it is just amazing, isn't it? You just want to hold them and just pause and look and marvel at God's handiwork. And we're to rejoice in what He creates. The other picture is that of the potter and the wheel. And we know that Isaiah even talks about that, that we are, as humans, we don't necessarily like this. I'm not that. I'm not the dirt. I'm not the mud. I'm not the clay. Oh, yes, you are. We are clay, pots of mud. And if we are honest with our Creator, we have cracks. We have chips we break, don't we? We're fragile. But the master potter is able to come into our lives, and guess what? No matter what age you are, the master creator gets to come into your life and he does a recreation. He's able to repair the brokenness. He's able to shine through the cracks. Paul told the believers, he says, we have this treasure in jars of clay. What is the treasure? Who is the treasure in the jar of clay in my heart and soul as a follower of God? It's the Holy Spirit in me, Christ in me, the hope of glory. May his light shine ever brighter. May his light shine ever fiercer in my life and through my life as a follower of the Lord. I get to shine for him. Yes, I'm a crackpot. But guess what? I want the Lord to shine in and through me his light and his glory. My light is temporary. A bug will come and zap my light out. But if I have the light of Christ within me, a lot of bugs are going to come. They're going to be attracted to the light. But God's light is greater than any bug. God's light is brighter than any darkness that I would face, any fear that may come and challenge me. God never fails. And we are to rejoice in who he is as creator. I believe this passage is talking about, and we're keen on verses 17 and 18, but we're going to look at all the verses quickly. But verses 17 and 18 says, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth, and the former things shall not be remembered or come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in that which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy. Wow. And her people to be a gladness. Well, wait a minute, Pastor. Now, we know that that is speaking of a new Jerusalem and a new earth, and you know, that's the new church. No, I believe, and you can argue with me later if you'd like to, but I believe, literally, it says Jerusalem. Jerusalem's going to be a joy for all, and the people in Jerusalem will be a joy, but guess what? It's also referring to the people of God. And we as, yes, Gentiles, if we are not Jewish, we are Gentiles in the Old Testament, New Testament. We see that there's Gentiles and there's Jews, those who are God's chosen people and then those who are outside of that. But there's good news for us. We have been offered salvation through Christ on the cross. Jesus came to die, not just for the Jews, but for the Gentiles, for all people, regardless of ethnicity or accent or race. God so loved the world, all the world, all the world, that whosoever believes in him, whosoever believes in him, whosoever believes in him. Does that mean that if I'm a Republican, I can believe in Jesus? Yes. Does that mean I'm a Democrat and I can believe in Jesus? Yes. Does that mean if I'm an independent, I can believe in Jesus? Yes. Does that mean if I'm under a communistic regime, I can believe in Jesus? Oh, yes, I hope so and pray that you do. Regardless of my economic standing, if I'd only have $100 to my name, can I believe in Jesus? Yes, if I have $1,000 or $10,000 or $100,000 or $1 million or $2 million or $1 billion, can I believe in Jesus? Yes! Jesus came to die for all people everywhere, regardless of your social standing or how many posts you have on Facebook. Jesus came and died for all people everywhere, regardless of how much money or wealth or lack of you have. Jesus died for all people everywhere, regardless of how many diseases or sicknesses or cancers that you've been fighting with. Jesus came to die for you. Why? Because he loves you so. Why am I suffering then? It's because we live in a sin-filled, sick world, and we need a Savior. And his name is Christ the Lord. And I began to enter into a relationship with him through faith. And when I discovered that Almighty God, the maker of heaven and earth, declared by his word that he made man in his likeness so that I could know him and be restored in relationship. That's why David said, he restores my soul. That's something supernatural. That's something magnificent. And we see here that Isaiah, filled with the Holy Spirit of God in this chapter, in these verses, is revealing to God's people, we need to rejoice in what God creates and what he does. In fact, God desires for his people to rejoice in what he has done and what he is doing and what he is going to do in the future. You ever wake up in the morning, and what's the first thought in your mind? Oh, I need a cup of coffee. That might be my temptation. But do you wake up in the morning and say, oh, blessed be the name of the Lord, for he's given another day. It's a new day filled with his grace and his goodness and his mercy, and I praise him today. Blessed be the name of the Lord because I get to hear his birds singing and chirping in the trees. And he knows everything about them. Blessed be the name of the Lord because the sun shines. Or blessed be the name of the Lord because he gives us rain when we desperately need it. Blessed be the name of the Lord for he watches over me today. Blessed be his name. I rejoice in what God has done. What has he done? He made heaven and earth. What has he done? He created you in his likeness so you can know him. What has he done? He's given his only son to die on the cross for your sins, past, present, and future. What has he done? He set you free from a life that is separated from him, condemned to hell, and has given you life everlasting, made you a new creation, new in him, filled you with his holy, divine, majestic, glorious, good spirit that teaches you all things about Jesus. He has done that so that you can know him intimately, so that you can reflect his character to others around you who are scratching your head and saying, like, man, I don't know what got into you. But I want to be like you because they see Jesus in you. They see his love. They see his joy. They see his peace. They see his patience. They see his goodness. They see his kindness. They see his gentleness. They see his meekness. They see his faithfulness in you. And yes, they see his self-control in you. And we need to be thankful. Lord, thank you that you've not abandoned us as orphans. You haven't left us on the curb. You haven't taken us and picked us up and brought us to the fire station and left us alone. But that you've adopted us through faith in Christ. And now, as many as received him, he gave them the right. God gave them the right to be called children of God, and that's what we are. And because of that, we can rejoice in what you've done. And we can rejoice at what you're doing. What are you doing? What is God doing in your life? Well, I wish I knew what God was up to. I wish I knew what he was doing. When was the last time that you stopped and said to your heart and your soul, be still, amidst all the chaos, amidst all the rushing here and there, amidst all the busyness of life, all the problems, all the pain, all the panicking, when has you stopped and just quieted your soul and said, be still Be still, O my soul, and know. Be still and know that I am God. Be still and know that I am God. God wants us to wait before Him, and in that moment He will speak to us and we'll begin to rejoice. And then we need to look forward to and rejoice in what He's going to do in the future. And Isaiah covers that in this chapter. So we see, first of all, we're to rejoice in what God has done. He has brought His saving grace to the Gentiles. In verse 1, Isaiah says, I was ready, speaking of being that spokesman for the Lord. I was ready to be sought by those who did not ask for me. I was ready to be found by those who did not seek me. I said, here I am, to a nation that was not called by my name. Wow. So Isaiah is saying to the people of God, listen, God is ready and He's open and He's going to receive others outside of us to believe in Him, to be sought and found. Paul said this to the Romans in chapter 10 in verse 20. He said, then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. It must have been hard, do you think, for the Pharisees and the Sadducees during Christ's day? It must have been difficult for them when they saw Jesus, the rabbi, but then they saw His disciples. How could He have disciples like them? Peter, that hothead. Thomas, that doubter. How could He have disciples like them? Jesus is willing to receive all who come to Him by faith. It doesn't require a pedigree, a degree, education, as we said before, any amount of money. It's just by faith. The rich young ruler came to Jesus. He said, Master, what must I do to be saved? And what did that rich young ruler say to him? Well, I've done this and 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 this. And Jesus looked at his heart and said, there's one thing you still lack. Probably my ears would be perked up at that point. Oh, what is it? Here it is. Go sell everything you have and give to the poor and come and follow me. Say, what? And what did he do? He turned away. And his heart was sad because he loved his stuff more than he loved knowing the Savior. Jesus is wanting for us to know Him more. More than the issues that fill our minds. More than the news that we see or hear on TV. More than what we read or post on social media. More than what we even occupy ourselves with. Jesus is wanting us to know Him more than the stuff that consumes us. When we come to that place to seek Him, we will find Him. Israel considered to be the only people of God, but the time would come when other nations would seek Him. Praise the Lord. Paul mentions this here. And don't allow yourself to be caught up like the Pharisees or the Sadducees. But allow the grace of God to work in you and through you to present the gospel of Christ to those who may be seeking Him. I'm thankful that the gospel is for all people. We are to rejoice in God's righteous judgments on the wicked Israelites. Ooh, that may sound harsh. God is still speaking in verses 2 through 7, and He says in verse 2 of chapter 65 here of Isaiah, I spread out my hands all the day to a rebellious people who walk in a way that is not good, following their own devices, a people who provoke me to my face continually, sacrificing in gardens and making offerings on bricks, who sit in tombs and spend the night in secret places, who eat pig's flesh and broth of tainted meats is in their vessels, who say, keep to yourself, do not come near me, for I am too holy for you. These are a smoke in my nostrils, a fire that burns all the day. Behold, it is written before me, I will not keep silent, but I will repay. I will indeed repay into their lap both your iniquities and your father's iniquities together, says the Lord, because they made offerings on the mountains and insulted me on the hills. I will measure into their lap payment for their former deeds. So, what is God saying? God is saying, I see the wickedness of my people. They are really pretending to say they know me, but their hearts are far from me. They are practicing evil and wickedness and false worship. They're praying to the dead, that verse 4 talks about, in secret places, and they are saying that they are holier than anyone else. And a day is coming when God will judge. Yes, we don't like that. But God is coming to judge. And He will speak truth in love. We who are in Christ, we do not need to fear that day. If there is fear that's welling up in your heart and soul, maybe there's something there between you and the Lord that you need to get right. That's not manipulation. That's just saying, let me cultivate my listening ears to the Spirit of God to make sure that I am right with my Creator. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Allow God to do that work that only He can do. And then if He points something out, well, there is this issue, then confess it and get it right. Even we're reminded this past couple of days in this peacemaking workshop. How would you like to be that person? Yes, you're the conflict coach. I don't like conflict. Do you? And you can run away with it. But they had a beautiful thought here. We'll just throw it out. Every conflict is an opportunity to glorify God. Every conflict that we face is an opportunity to glorify God. Wow. Let's chew on that. I'm still chewing on it. We like to run away, but God may be doing something. He may be the master potter, and He might be molding the clay within your soul. He might be that sculptor taking the chisel and trying to chip away some hardness there and replace it with His love and His character, so that He can change you and make you more like His Son. Instead of being hard-hearted, instead of being rebellious, the people here, Israel, is facing judgment because God is righteous, and they are refusing to listen to God, they're refusing to respond to God, they're refusing to obey God, they're rebelling in their ways, and they're pretending that everything's okay, but deep down they are far from Him. He says, your iniquities, in verse 7, and your father's iniquities, they have made offerings, idolatry, insulted me, and they will get repaid for what they are doing. There's coming a day. We are not to be on the sidelines and say, oh yeah, go burn that heretic, that wicked person. For now we are under grace, and we need to do everything we can to pray and say, Lord, allow by the power of your Holy Spirit to not only fill us with your Spirit, to move those individuals into a place where they can respond in faith, believing in you, repenting of their wickedness. We see here that we are to rejoice in God's blessings for those who serve him. And rejoice in those who will receive shame for not serving him. Again, this ties in with the judgment of God. Verses 8 and 10 says, thus says the Lord, as the new wine is found in the cluster, and they say, do not destroy it, for there is a blessing in it, so I will do for my servant's sake and not destroy them all. I will bring them forth, offspring from Jacob and from Judah, possessors of my mountains. My chosen shall possess it, and my servant shall dwell there. Sharon shall become a pasture for flocks, and the valley of Achor a place for herds to lie down for my people who have sought me. That's great. I'm going to be serving the Lord, and there's going to be blessing. In fact, as God, the master vine keeper, gardener, looks at the vine and sees the grapes, he sees that there is blessing in that, and he will cultivate it, and I will be blessed by that. He will not destroy it. There is blessing because of my servant's sake, because my servants are serving the Lord, because they are faithful. They are trying to be like Jesus. They are making intercession for the lost. They are witnessing for Christ. They are operating out of a motivation, being filled with the Holy Spirit, walking in the Spirit, breathing in the Spirit, and thus cultivating the fruit of the Spirit in their life, because it's the Spirit of God in them doing that good work. They're able to do that. They're faithful. They don't realize they're doing it, but they're doing it. God will bring blessing. There are those who have been so faithful. You know, John and his brother, sons of thunder, asked Jesus something. They said, Lord, when you get in your kingdom, guess what? We want to be second and third command right with you, man. We want to just rule with you. How about it? In fact, mom's coming to even ask about that. She's coming over. We want to be on the inside. Jesus said, it's not for me to choose that, right? It's not for me. I've often wondered in that, who is it going to be? Who is it going to be, Lord? And I don't think this is biblical. This is just TED thought. So take it as TED thought and maybe heresy. Okay. Maybe not. But I think God's going to pick someone who's the most unlikely person we could ever think. They may not appear talented or beautiful or handsome. They may not even appear strong, muscular, gorgeous, everything perfect. But they will appear to be a servant. I think of the old story, you may have heard it if you've been in Alliance circles, about Sophie, the scrub woman. Sophie was a woman who loved Jesus with all her heart and was an immigrant, but the only job she could do was scrub floors and scrub bathrooms. But she would give what little income she could to missions to help fund the Great Commission. She never complained, but she worked all the time scrubbing bathrooms and toilets and giving that to the Lord. Not a glamorous job. Not one that we want to put on a pedestal. I believe that God will bless as his servants do the work of the kingdom for the glory of God, not themselves, but for the glory of Christ alone, not looking or seeking for anything in return. It is a privilege to serve the Lord. It is a privilege to serve the Lord. Wherever God has you right now, whatever occupation, whether you're retired or you're in business or you're in whatever field, God has you there as his servant, as his ambassador, as his representative to display his, are you ready? His character, his glory, his goodness to those around you. That's a blessing. And that will speak as a testimony. There's also that blessing where to rejoice in shame for those who forsake him. Verses 11 through 16, he says, but those who forsake the Lord, who forget me on my holy mountain, who set a table for fortune and fill cups of mixed wine for destiny, I will destine you to the sword, and all of you shall bow down to the slaughter, because when I called you, you did not answer. When I spoke, you did not listen, but you did what was evil in my eyes and chose what I did not delight in. So God is saying, listen, if you're going to harden your heart against me, there is coming a day that you will receive shame from my hand and not be blessed. But verse 14 says, my servants shall sing for gladness of heart, but you'll cry out for pain of heart and shall wail for breaking of spirit. Verse 15, you shall leave your name to my chosen for a curse, and the Lord God will put you to death, but his servants he will call by another name, so that he who blesses himself in the land shall bless himself by the God of truth, and he who takes an oath in the land shall swear by the God of truth, because the former troubles are forgotten and are hidden from my eyes. Jesus said in Matthew 3:12, his winnowing fork is at hand, and he will clear his threshing floor and gather his wheat into the barn, but the chaff he will burn with unquenchable fire. In other words, that chaff is that of the wicked individual who never responds to the Lord. They've had opportunities, but they refuse. They refuse to listen. They refuse to obey. They just well up inside and go their own way. And there's a day coming when those who do not repent will be judged and discarded because they are worthless in doing God's work, but those who repent and believe will be saved and be used by God. I don't necessarily like hearing that. I would like everyone to be saved. But God has a standard. He has a standard. And we must understand his standard. Today is a day of salvation. All who believe on the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved, shall be saved. Do not turn away from Jesus if he's asking you, come. Follow me. Fourth, lastly, rejoice in God's new universe and millennial reign is the rest of the chapter. Verses 17 through 25, the verses here in Isaiah 65, he says, behold, I create new heavens and a new earth. The former things shall not be remembered or come into mind, but be glad and rejoice forever in which I create. For behold, I create Jerusalem to be a joy and her people to be a gladness. I will rejoice in Jerusalem and be glad in my people. No more shall be heard in it the sound of weeping and the cry of distress. Does that remind you of what's in Revelation? One day there will be no more tears and no more pain and no more sorrow. In verse 20 of 65, it says, no more shall there be in it an infant who lives but a few days, or an old man who does not fill out his days. For the young man shall die 100 years old, and the sinner 100 years old shall be accursed. They shall build houses and inhabit them. They shall plant vineyards and eat their fruit. They shall not build and another inhabit. They shall not plant and another eat. For like the days of a tree shall the days of my people be, and my chosen shall long enjoy the work of their hands. They shall not labor in vain or bear children for calamity, for they shall be the offspring of the blessed of the Lord and their descendants with them. Before they call, I will answer. And while they are yet speaking, I will hear. And then this very famous verse in 25, it says this: the wolf and the lamb shall graze together. The lion shall eat straw like the ox, and dust shall be the serpent's food. They shall not hurt or destroy in all my holy mountain, says the Lord. Now, some of us may get all hung up and say, well, that's poetic language of peace. But I look at it and say, no, there is coming a day when literally Christ himself will reign, King of kings and Lord of lords. There will be a new heaven and a new earth, and his peace will permeate the land so that a lion can lay down with an ox, and that a wolf and a lamb will be together. There will be peace, and the Master, Creator, God himself, and Jesus Christ, his Son and Savior, Messiah, coming King, and the Holy Spirit, who breathes life into all who follow Christ, will reign and bring his love and character. John says, I saw a holy city in New Jerusalem coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned and her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be his people, and God himself will be with them as their God. He will wipe away every tear from their eye, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Wow. We are to rejoice in what God has done. We are to rejoice in what he is doing. And we are to rejoice in what he's going to do. A new heaven, a new earth, a new Jerusalem. To be in the presence of the Lord. F.B. Meyer, that preacher, he said this: let us see to it then that here and now the Lord Jesus is the beginning and the end, the Alpha and Omega, the A and Z of our life. If so, we may even in this mortal life begin to experience the life of the redeemed. Chuck Smith says, so the earth again being in harmony with God, and creation in harmony with God, and man in harmony with God, how glorious it must have been for Adam in harmony with the whole universe around him, everything humming together in a glorious harmony with God. So what does this mean for us today? What is God saying to me from his word, and how will I respond? When you wake up in the morning, is your heart filled with joy and rejoicing in the God of creation? When you go throughout the day, is your thoughts centered upon Christ and what he desires of you, or are you consumed with self? As you close out the day, do you find that you're in harmony with the Spirit of the Lord? Or you've kind of walked out of step. The good news is, if we confess our sins, that means I agree with God. God, today I tried to live for you, but I blew it. I got angry. I blew it because I got selfish. I blew it. You wanted me to be a servant, and man, I just thought it was an interruption to my soul. And I just didn't want to help. I didn't want to do it. I blew it. And the Lord comes alongside in those moments when we are honest with God. And he will put his heavenly, divine arm around you. And as you agree, he will say, I forgive. Go and sin no more. And he knows next time we walk down the road that we may trip and fall again. And as a good shepherd is with his sheep, he comes and rescues us with his staff. And he'll pick us up and he restores us and puts us on the path of righteousness. Our response to God Almighty is to listen. Our response is to obey, to follow, to keep our eyes on Christ. So we may have to say, Lord, forgive me. We may have to say, as we prayed and sung about today, Lord, fill me. Not with self, but with the Savior, the Spirit of the living God. And then we have to walk again in faith and obedience. And as we do, God wants us to be people of joy, to rejoice in the Lord. Paul said it this way, rejoice in the Lord. Sometimes when I feel it, when life's going good, when everything's smelling like roses, no. He said, rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say, rejoice. So let's be his kids and be joyful in the God who creates. Let's take praise from our lips and what he has done, what he is doing, and what he is going to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It reminds us of just how great you are. You're amazing. There is no one like you. You are the author and finisher of our faith. You are the creator of heaven and earth. You are the one who can take an old sinful nature and create in us new life. The old is gone, the new has come, and we become a new creation. We're not just a makeover, we're not just a remodeled individual, we are completely new, because your Spirit does that. I'll praise you. Thank you, Lord, that you have given the gospel for all people everywhere that they may know you. And Lord, I pray that you'll help us to be more faithful as your light bearers, as your truth bearers, as your ambassadors, to not be fearful, but to be faithful and fearless, to proclaim your good news to others in a loving way. Lord, that your Holy Spirit will go forth and even prepare the hearts and souls that we encounter this week and the next week and the days ahead until you come again, that we may share Christ, so that they may know you and not face judgment, but be able to receive life everlasting, forgiveness of sins, totally new. And Lord, we thank you that in our weakness, you are made strong. So Lord, take our weaknesses, take our cracks from these jars of clay and do your healing work and your mending in our soul and help us to shine the light of Jesus, to shine the light of Jesus in this world today for the glory of Jesus and only for his glory and for his praise. We ask these things in Christ's name.